Hey guys, so we got some news. We will no longer be posting our full-length podcast here on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this right now. Instead, we're going to be posting the first half hour of the episodes here for you guys to listen to. But the full version will be available on either our YouTube channel for free. Yes, you can still watch and listen for free on the YouTube app. Or you can join our brand new Patreon and spend $10 a month to get the full episodes before they're posted on YouTube, free of ads. You can listen to the audio on the Patreon app, or you can actually get a link from the Patreon app and add the link to the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you're listening, and listen to our stuff through the same app that you're using right now. In terms of why we're making this decision, we are expanding the business a lot right now, and it just doesn't really make any sense for us to keep giving away this content for free to services like Spotify, who are making money off of our content without giving us anything in return. So by either listening to our content on YouTube for free and watching the ads, or paying the 10 bucks a month to listen via Patreon, you're helping us take No Jumper to the next level. Enjoy this episode. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I'm in here with my man, Gator.
What's up with it, bro?
How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. Long overdue.
That's what I'm saying. It's nice to have you in here, man. I got to refresh myself on a lot of, like, 2010s-ish era LA hip-hop that I had just moved here from New York at that time. I was not necessarily in tune with like I should have been. But, I mean, you've had a pretty interesting career trajectory that has gotten you here today.
I really appreciate that, man. It's crazy that you say that, because last night, Tory Lanez gave me the same type of compliment, man, on one of these little blogs on Instagram. They posted about me, and he was like, yeah, man, Gata been an artist. He been rapping since 2009 with Tyga. So, man, I appreciate that, bro. That made me feel good, man, to know that people had their eyes open and was paying attention, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because you're sort of used to seeing people have, like, a career trajectory where they come out, and, you know, if they don't blow up within the first year or two, then you never hear from them again. And that's just sort of how it's supposed to be. So it's dope to see somebody like you who, you know, has had, like, you know, ups and downs, and, like, has found himself in a position that seems, like, you know, very good at this point.
Man, I'm just living up to the brand. You know, GED, I'm just grinding every day. That's just like me just never having this quitter mentality. I always wanted to make sure that I fulfilled the destination that I wanted to see myself at. You know what I'm saying? So it's like being here feels good because I know I never quit. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it takes to be a true winner. Never quit. You're going to go through a lot of bullshit, ups and downs. You're going to lose a lot before you really get that victory. You know what I'm saying? Before you really take your victory lap.
Right. Because, I mean, like, if you blow up your first time around, you probably weren't going to be ready for it, right?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't, because I was young. I wasn't capitalizing on the business. Like, I had features with Lil Wayne and all this, and we was just not capitalizing on it. Well, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't thinking about, oh, man, maybe I should try to get a manager. Or maybe I should try to, you know, put my music out there in more in an efficient way. You know what I'm saying? So I was just having fun at a young age. Like you said, just letting it, you know.
Marinate.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, like, when you were real young and shit. So you were born in South Central?
Or? Yeah, South Central LA. I grew up off Western. That's why I got the Western piece on.
I noticed, you know? I used to live on Western, by like Western and Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Which is not really probably the part of Western that people think about when they think about the hood.
Yeah, but I'm from South Central LA, man. I went to Crenshaw High School. A lot of people don't know that. People see me and be like, man, you from Florida? Where you from? Atlanta? Mm. But yeah, I'm from LA, man. West Coast all day.
Why do you think that is, that people don't give you the LA pass?
Because of the way I carry myself, the way I dress, the way I talk, you know, like, I'm not out here all, you know, just, I'm just different, man. Plus, you got to think about it. I'm international, too. I'm world-traveled. So, where my image or the way I carry myself is going to be based upon the places I've been and the things that I've been inspired by. So, I guess that's why I'm not putting that West Coast box in. I really appreciate that, too, though. That means the world to me that people say, like, oh, where are you from?
Like, right. But that's interesting because, like, so many people who are from L.A. kind of choose to really lean into that and make that kind of, like, the focal point of their whole identity and shit. I mean, you do have a Western fucking chain around your neck, so it's not like you're hiding from it.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you never felt that way about
it. Yeah, I never felt that way because, you know, one thing I say about me coming where I come from, the hood and everything, like, I love it, I appreciate it, it made me who I am today, I'll never forget it, none of that. But at the same time, you got to think outside of that, you know what I mean? Like, when I'm in the hood or things like that, I'm always thinking further, above and beyond, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I never want to really just say, yo, like, this is really where I'm from. Now, I'm from everywhere. I want everybody around the world to be able to connect with me.
Did you feel like that even as a kid, though? Because, like, I feel like so many people I talk to get sucked into, like, the local politics of where they're from and shit like that. That was never you?
No, I didn't get sucked in, man. You have an interview right now with a leader, bro. I never signed up for a gang. All my homies do what they do, yada, yada, yada. But me, I've been in the house since I was probably like 15. I didn't come outside till I was 15. I was on a computer. I'm a nerd, bro. I'm a tech geek. I know everything about computers. I know how to build one from scratch.
Really?
RAM, ROM, all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know how to do a lot of stuff when it comes to computers, so I'm smart. So that's just what it was. I never really came outside till I got older. And one of my homies, one of my day one friends, is somebody that really showed me the neighborhood, like really showed me the other side of Western. You know what I mean? So I was really shelled in the house, yo. Watching Ninja Turtles and wrestling and shit.
That's interesting, because when I look back at my teen years and shit, though, I always, one thing that I think really helped me to like get out and like experience the world was that I was obsessed with fucking like the internet and stuff, and then my mom basically figured out that I was like pirating software and shit on AOL, so she got rid of the internet. So I had a couple years there where we didn't have any internet in the house, and all of a sudden I'm out riding my bike every day, kicking it with girls and shit. And I, when I look back, I kind of feel like I would have just ended up like a super stay in the house ass, stay on the computer type of kid, and wouldn't have necessarily like got out there and really got like my social skills up.
Man, shout out to you real quick. I'm sorry, but no jumper water. That's a big move right
there. Wettest water in the world.
No jumper water.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's really just a sticker you put on the bottle, but hey.
But I respect the gander. You're gandering right now.
We were getting sick of cutting the labels that said, you know, fucking Nestle or whatever off of them.
Yeah.
But okay, so then what, you like turn 15 and you start to like actually get outside more? What
yeah,
changed?
Because I knew like where I come from, it's dangerous outside. If you don't know the right people.
And you always knew that.
I always knew that. You know what I'm saying? I grew up off of 38th and Western. I grew up off in the 60s. I grew up off of 108th and Western. So I've always seen the culture. Like I said, I went to Crenshaw High School, so I seen a lot of crazy shit. You know what I mean? So when I went outside, I would make sure that I was linked up with the right people, you know what I mean, to keep me on the right path. Like, yo, stay away from this, stay away from that. That's why I said I'm a leader, you know what I mean, because I never decided to be a follower. Like you said, a lot of people get caught up on what's going on outside. But when I came outside, I wanted to be focused, you know what I mean, so I wouldn't be distracted.
Were you obsessed with rap and shit at that time, too?
Yeah. I'm a hip-hop junkie, man. I know everything about music, man. I've been studying the rap game since I was probably, like, 13 years old. One of my favorite rappers who made me want to start rapping is Da Brat.
Really?
Yeah. So funk-tify. You want to know why, though? Because, look, all the dope rappers that was coming out at that time, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, all these dope artists, I'm like, okay, that's cool. But when I seen her do it and I seen her swag, I'm like, hold on, she a female. Wow. If she can do this, I can do it. So it really brought out the confidence out of me more. So shout out to Da Brat, man. That's like the female to start her stuff and made me want to start rapping.
That's interesting because, yeah, I mean, like around the time that you and Tyga started doing your thing and stuff, it was like Tyga was definitely coming out with like a very different impression of what like a LA rapper could look like and be doing.
Oh, well, see, that goes to play with us being around Fall Out Boy and Gym Class Heroes. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay.
He was always different.
We got to get the order of how all this proceeded, though. So, okay.
You got a crazy resume.
Right. You start coming outside around, like, 15, whatever. Then what scene do you sort of get into, and how do you start being around people and meeting all these people that led to all this stuff?
Well, basically, when I first came outside, like I said, I was hanging out with Jeezy. We chilling, smoking, doing our sports thing. And then I'm on MySpace, like I said. Some girl was in my messages one day. We talking, yada, yada, yada. She says, yo, come over to my crib one day. I go to her crib. Tiger's over there. She's like, yo, this is my homie, yada, yada, yada. He dates my boyfriend. I mean, he dates my homegirl or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. So off the rip, we like, damn, okay, our names are similar. So that was funny.
Gator and Tiger.
Yeah, that was
funny. Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, okay. So we thought nothing of it. And then after that, we just became cool. And then we came up with the GED brand and everything together. And then Schoolboy Q was rocking with us. And then we went on tour, did our thing. Blew up a little bit, got a little fame. That's how I got the verses from Wayne and stuff, because Tiger was over there with Lil Wayne and everything. And it was a great run. That was like the first half of my career. It was a dope experience, man. I fell off.
We can talk about all that, but what? So Tiger was already signed and already doing his thing as a...
Yeah, I was there at the table when he signed his first record deal Coconut Juice and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you
and just I know people want to know this stuff too, so it's dope that I get to say it on this platform with you, man. And I appreciate you asking me these questions, because I don't never want people to think like, oh, well, you on FX and you on this and that with Dickie now, you forgot about your past. Like, nah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I appreciate it.
No, definitely. Because, I mean, I'm just sort of fascinated by that, because that's one thing people always say about you is like, yeah, Gator used to be around Tyga, and then, like, he was part of that whole thing back then. But I feel like I haven't, of the interviews I saw, I didn't really see, like, much like in-depth information about what you were sort of a part of that.
Yeah,
whole
that's
time,
because you know? When you're in position, you can actually choose how much you want to turn the light on somebody. You right. see what I'm saying? You can see how much you want to do for someone. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So that's why people saw what they saw. But everything that you saw me doing is because I put myself in position. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Nobody ever never handed me nothing. I saw opportunities and I rose and I did my thing.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So what? Where was your mentality at though when you see Tyga sort of like going through these opportunities and stuff? It takes like a certain type of mentality to realize that there's a big opportunity and sort of being the right-hand man
right.
while somebody's experienced in their come up. Like that can oftentimes like help somebody to really get off the ground. But I also feel like a lot of times people kind of fuck up the opportunity when that sort of opportunity is in their face. Like what was your mentality at that time on that?
Well, my mentality was I'm happy for my friend, number one. I'm blessed to be here. This is like a dream come true. Uh-huh. We're around all the top talent in the world. Traveling around the world, we Japan and all through the U.S. So I'm happy. Like I said, I was caught up in the fun, and I wasn't really thinking about the business. You know, I'm just thinking, okay, my boy on, we doing our thing. It's gonna crack off. Boom. We talk about certain things when the cameras is off. Like, okay, we gonna do this and do that. And I was hoping some of those things came true. And then some of the opportunities that arose, they got shut down because of business or whatever the case may be. And when he transitioned to Young Money, I was never the person that was going to be like, well, you over here with Young Money and Lil Wayne, you should sign me too. I'm like, let me get a deal. Like, I wasn't like that. Like, the songs and the stuff that you heard from me and Lil Wayne, all that stuff came organically. Like, I'm in the studio passed out, you know what I mean? And Lil Wayne wake me up himself. It was never, hey, this is Gator, get him on the song. Like, Tyga never did that. You know, everything just happens organically. Like, I never forced anything. That's why people love me, because when I walk in, go places, like, I'm not the person that's going to be like, unless it's
right
my time, you know what I mean? But
were you just like when you talk about getting songs with Lil Wayne, were you just benefiting to the fact that this is the era in his life where he was just going absolutely nuts in the studio and just doing so much music?
You couldn't tell me nothing at that time, and you still can't tell me nothing right now, because nobody could ever take that away from me. I didn't do those songs via email.
Right.
I was in the studio right there with him. Like, I was chosen, picked up off the couch, woken up off my sleep. Like, hey, get on a song with me. You know what I'm saying? So that's priceless. You know what I mean? He really fucked with us.
Yeah.
He done wore my jewelry. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a real, real organic
wore
thing.
Your jewelry?
Just like how you fucking with me right now, bro.
Right.
It's just how Wayne is, bro.
But he was like, let me get the GE chain. I'm going to wear it on stage.
Bro,
and
we had
it
a lot of shit going on. I don't know if you noticed, but these chains had got snatched at one point from Tyga.
Right.
You know, while me and Q was there. And yada, 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 let behold, Wayne's so powerful, he get the chains back. And when he got the chains back, he like, don't ever let this shit happen again.
Mm.
And to let people know that y'all got the shit back, I'm going to wear it in the Glasses Malone video. Mm. So if you look up Glasses Malone Lil Wayne Birdman video, you see the GED chains in there. So that's how that went, man. It was like a real family, bro. Like, Wayne is a real boss, man. He a real good dude, too. Like, he didn't have to do that for me. Let me get three songs with a nobody. You feel me? Let me just be able to say that for the rest of my life. That's cool. That's like,
that is pretty crazy.
It's priceless, bro.
Yeah. That's fire. So that must have been a crazy ass era though, because last night I went on Worldstar and I was searching Tyga and searching Gator and going backwards and looking at shit from the beginning, and that was like a huge fucking chapter of controversy in terms of like the chain snatching incident and stuff. What can you say
shit
about
shit is real,
that?
Man, like, it just made me realize, like, no matter where we go and what we think of ourselves, somebody's always watching.
Mm.
You always got to know that. No matter you got money, no money, somebody always watching you. Like, this social media shit is real, you know what I mean? So be careful what you post, you know, be careful who you be around. All that shit is real, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you got to really think about what you're doing.
Mm.
Like I said before, I was playing checkers.
Mm.
Now we playing chess. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you got to evolve as a person, as a man. So it's just dope to see people paying attention, man.
But that's kind of crazy that you sort of ended up in the situation of being on the road and doing songs with all these big artists and everything, because in large part because you kind of ignored all the gangbanging shit that was going on outside your front door, and then all of a sudden you end up in a position where you got to basically rely on the streets to help solve some of these problems, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, all the time, bro. And what's so crazy is, like I said, it's about being respected and connected. You ain't got to be a gang member. You ain't got to be out here pumping fear in nobody's heart. But long as you a stand-up guy, as long as you cross all your T's, dot your I's, you good, man. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Just be genuine, be pure, and it just is what it is. It's sad to say that I grew up in that environment and them circumstances, but I'm going to make the best of it at all times.
I was watching that clip of you like in Japan for your first time on YouTube.
Oh, man.
I could feel the excitement, bro. Like, that was sick as fuck. Because it is, like, bro. I could just imagine if you've only ever even really been in America and then all of a sudden you're in Tokyo. I mean, it had to have blown your mind into a million
pieces.
Listen,
dude, you just made the hair on my arm stand up. I still watch that footage to this day.
Right.
Just so I could get that feeling of, like, damn, that was my first time in Japan.
Yeah.
Coming from South Central LA. You know what I mean? Coming where I come from, that mean a lot, bro. Like, it's dope, man.
I mean, yeah, it's like hard to imagine. Like, once you're out there, that's the conclusion you're forced to draw. Is like, this is another part of the world that developed like almost completely independent of everything that had to happen for where I grew up to develop. Like, you know, the food is 100% different. The people walk differently, move around differently, talk at a different speed with a different intensity, every single part of it. And for it was like that clip when I was watching it, it actually really did give me hype just seeing you with that like childlike enthusiasm for seeing something completely foreign to you, you know?
Yeah, man. And it was like that my first time in New York. Like, I got a New York video up there like that where I was just seeing snow for the first time. And I'm just like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? Some of those moments I'll never forget, man. It's dope that you've seen that. Yeah. I ain't never going to delete that video either.
Definitely. Hell yeah. Wait, so, okay. How would you end up around Fall Out Boy and all that kind of shit? Because that was like, that's a pretty rare time in LA history in which you had, you know, all these rappers kicking it with like a indie emo punk type group for the first time and like actually really having the shit blow up independently of each other and sort of having the genres merge together a bit. A lot of that hadn't really happened before at that time.
Right. This how it happened, man. Like I said, we was really living up to the brand, trying to make it. We knew Melrose was a cool place. It's probably why you put your store over there, because like, you know, it was a historical place.
And 15 years later, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just crazy how like we was over there really trying to get our name out there, knowing that a lot of cool people be over there. And it's a chance that we could get some exposure. So one day we was out there passing out Tiger's mixtape, Young on Probation. We see Travis McCoy walking down the street. I notice him. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, that's the guy that's seen. Take a look at my girlfriend. And I'm telling T, like, yo, pass him your mixtape. And he walks up to him, gave him the mixtape. And that's how we linked up with Gym Class Heroes and Fall Out Boy. That moment right there on Melrose.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were already fucking huge, right?
Yeah, they was huge, dude. Like, man, crazy, dude. Like, I still can't believe I was around at those times.
Uh-huh.
Like, when they out there with four or five tour buses back to back, Patrick, you know what I'm saying? All of them got their buses. It was just a great feeling, man, just to be around that, because it groomed me to appreciate touring. You get what I'm saying? A lot of artists don't like to tour. A lot of artists don't like to be out there with their fans, with people out there sweating, running out, you know what I mean? Like, I really appreciate that aspect of the game.
Yeah, a lot of people start acting like it's a hassle.
Yeah, like, but see, if you don't like the tour, you ain't no real star, man. You ain't no real rock star. You ain't no real rapper. You ain't no real musician if you don't like the tour. That's just me, personally. That's just my opinion.
I mean,
because I'm a fan.
Because we are kind of used to like rappers going on tour and sort of having like a more like boring trajectory where it's like studio, hotel, show, get on the road. Whereas like when you're with like a band, I mean, you're like with like a bunch of people who are like the rock stars. So it's more.
Man, it's a different world, man.
Different attitude, right?
Shout out to every dope rock band out there, man. I love a lot of dope bands, man. Like, I picked up a lot of game from the rock world.
Right. Definitely. And you said that the thing about Gym Class Heroes, Travi being cousins with Tyga, that was made up by the
label?
Yeah,
that was made up, man. That was some industry shit that just happened because, you know, it's called a pitch. You know, every time a new artist come out, they got to have some type of pitch or some type of story. They didn't know what to say.
About
you
know Tyga, I mean? That was kind of
they didn't know what to say. Like, how the fuck this guy from Compton get over here with this dude in New York?
Right.
You know? So they didn't know what to say. They're just going to say, oh, they both light-skinned tattoos, they cousins. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But it was crazy.
Then you just sort of had to go along with that lie for a few years and just rock with it?
Yeah, just rock with it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's Hollywood. It's the industry. Don't believe everything you read. That's a real, real deal statement. Don't believe everything you see and read. Like, everything is not real.
Definitely. So how many years...
And shout out to Travis McCoy, too, while we're talking about him, too. Shout out to Travis. His birthday coming up, man.
Okay, for sure. So, but when you were on the road with Tyga and doing all this kind of stuff, how long did that era basically last? I mean, you were along for the whole
thing? No, I wasn't there the whole ride, but I was there for about a decade.
A decade?
Yeah, it was a long time, bro.
2009 from, to 2000? Yeah,
from 2006 to about...
Oh, okay, earlier.
No, almost a decade. Probably like 2006 to 2011, 12. Uh-huh. Like around there, like 7 years.
Okay.
It's almost a decade.
And when you were, like, where was your mind state at? Like, did it start to get old to you after a while, or why did it kind of end?
It never got old, because when you're growing as a brand, as an artist, you always going to be setting goals. And right. We were setting goals personally. Like, you saw Schoolboy was dropping mixtapes. I was dropping stuff, you know. Everybody had a plan. And where the plan went wrong is, you know, when somebody lose their deal and they go to another situation, it's like, hey, there's not room for all y'all little niggas over here. Like, you know what I mean? We came to get Tiger, you know what I mean? So I never want to step on toes and be like, yo, see what's up with me in your new situation over here, Young Money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never that type of dude, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a good friend. As long as he went in and he was happy, that's all we cared about. Whatever came around my way, I would make the best of it. Like you said, you never know when this shit gonna be over with. So you just gotta make the best of it every day.
It sounds like you were being pretty selfless. Do you look back on that and wish that you had been more focused on yourself at that time?
Not really, because to be honest, I was focusing on myself. Like, I was doing things that I feel like the reason why me and Tiger not cool, probably. Like, I had my own publishers. Like, you know, we both rising, so we going to venues and people, like, coming up to me like, yo, I want to be your publicist. I want to do this. And what am I doing? Shit, I ain't got no record deal. I ain't got no contract with no major label. So I'm not here for me. So I was trying to make the best of it. So I started doing stuff, flying out and getting in magazines and stuff. And you never know, man. People will never know the real reason why me and T ain't cool no more. And to be honest with you, I really don't give a fuck. A nigga really out here winning, bro. And I'm still staying true to me. You know what I'm saying? And the people that I know, I love, and love me. So that's all that matter.
For sure. So did you guys have like an actual falling out, or did you just grow apart over time and kind of stop talking?
We never had no falling out, no argument. He not that type of guy that's going to be arguing with you face to face. You know, like, you know, some people just be on some, all right, I won't even speak on it. I'll just cut you off or whatever, because I don't want to dig too deep into his situation or whatever, but just look at his circle, bro. You know what I mean? Look at Terrell. You know Terrell. You know what I'm saying? Get Terrell up here.
I think I could reveal that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, we did have a conversation about this, but he did seem to say that he thinks it's kind of crazy that Tyga don't really like have anything to do with any of the people that he was around during that period.
Man, like I said, man, this shit is GED forever, man. You feel me? This shit tatted on my face. Whether people think we cool or not, in my mind, salute to Tyga, bro. You went and you doing your thing. You gave us some exposure platform. And we doing what we supposed to do. Because at the end of the day, a nigga can't hold your hand to the top forever. You feel me? So I respect everything you did for me, bro. That's why I'm here, right here with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just the real truth. I'm just always say that, bro. I'm never going to bash nobody, bro. You know what I mean? I'm never going to bash nobody. I'm not here to do that. You know what I'm saying? No matter if you fuck with me or not, I'm still not going to bash you. Even if a nigga don't fuck with me, I'm not going to bash you.
I respect that.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Yeah. That's how it should be. Okay, so you're probably gonna get mad at me for asking about this, but there was a very viral video back in the day where you got into a physical altercation with Stuntman's goons, I think.
Oh, that was fake too. That title
was fake.
No, the title was fake. I really got into an altercation, but that was not no Stuntman goons. Stuntman goons didn't send nobody for me.
Okay,
that was somebody that I knew. You know what I'm saying? One of my boys that I was linking up with, chilling with. Gator drop on me. You know what I'm saying? He like, oh, I guess Gator's over here. And that's how that happened. But that never was me. Yeah,
you know,
they play with titles. Think, first of all, they said I was stealing an iPhone or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm a tech geek, bro. I already got an iPhone. You feel me? I don't need to steal somebody's outdated phone or whatever. You know what I mean? But whatever the case may be, that was just the title mix up. But I really got into altercation.
Yeah. But so, how'd you feel about that ending up on WorldStar? That was when it was kind of like the early days of that happening,
to be honest with you, when that shit hit WorldStar, I'm like, I'm popping. You know why? Niggas trying to get a name off of me. You get what I'm saying?
That's how it felt?
You trying to get a name off of me, bro? I'm popping. I'm on. You know what's up with me, bro. I'm running with Tiger. I'm running with Fall Out Boy, Gym Class Heroes. Yeah, you might want to come beat me up. You probably mad. You probably don't like me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just what it is, bro. Like, that's just how LA is, bro. Like, you know that, Adam.
I know. But that's the whole thing is, like, did you feel from that situation, like, damn, I'm not moving right. I'm associated with all these famous people. Here I am in the hood having somebody have the opportunity to run up on me. Number one,
moving sloppy as hell. Moving sloppy. I was young. I was probably, like, what, 21 in that video? 22? I was young as fuck. But, like, I was definitely moving sloppy, but like I said, the biggest wake-up call was, I'm a somebody. That was the biggest wake-up call.
I'm a lick.
I'm a lick. You feel me? Like, a nigga could be like, oh, that's Gator. You know what I mean? But at the same time,
if you can get on WorldStar for beating somebody up, then that person is automatically like elevated to a different level of target.
And when you're an artist too and a brand, you got to realize there's people out here that want to put you in a position to where they could violate you, make your brand look sloppy and tacky. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, when you got a pure heart and you just so real, nobody can stop the plan that God has got for you. Like I said, a nigga did all that, and I'm still here. You feel me? Like,
definitely. Okay, so then in between, like, what year would you say that the Tyga thing kind of stopped being a thing? And what
probably
did you
like 2012.
Okay, and so then what do you move on to around then?
I fell off. I was on the block, posted up with my nigga Jeezy all day.
Really?
Writing songs in my mama's backyard, smoking Newport cigarettes, walking to Maggie's store on Western, buying cigarettes $2 for $1. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Did like, you got a Lucy spot?
Yeah, I had a Lucy spot. I'm in the hood, bro.
Okay. That's
my niggas told me where it was at. They're like, man, you know, Maggie's got the cigarettes $2 for $1. Man, I was doing bad, bro.
See, I didn't know that.
I was walking to the county
there.
Building, bro. EBT, eat better today. You know what I'm saying? I was doing bad, bro. I was struggling.
But how did that sit with you? Like, you know, having just seen so much of the world and like you're kind of just
bro,
back on some normal shit.
It fucked me up. It made me realize, like, number one, my anxiety is through the roof. Mm. I went from traveling in the world to now I'm just stuck. Now I just got to start all over.
Right.
No cameras, no, just me, my mind, my little circle, my personal support system. That's all it was. It wasn't no, all of this right here. It wasn't none of that. It was like, we need to do what we got to do to get back to where we got to get to. That's why I take my nigga Jeezy everywhere, because every time I was in a dark spot, he was like, man, fuck all that, bro. Just keep rapping. Keep grinding every day, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's all I was doing, bro, was thinking positive. I never was thinking like, oh, niggas don't fuck with me. I'm done. I was never thinking that. I was always thinking, bro, I'm Gator. I got songs with Lil Wayne. I'm talented. Nigga woke me up off the couch to get a verse from me, technically.
Okay, guys, so hopefully you enjoyed that. If you did and you want to keep listening, head on over to our Patreon and support us. Give us that $10 a month and you can listen to the whole thing on this very app or through the Patreon app, or you can head on over to youtube.com/nojumper and listen to the whole thing for free with ads or without ads if you sign up for YouTube Plus. And yeah, appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you once again for all the support.